Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. If this is your first Geekscape, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk, movies, video games, comic books, TV, all of that stuff that you love. I mean, the geeks have kind of inherited the earth, have they not? From my days in middle school going to local Austin comic book conventions and looking for that VHS of Pride of the X-Men. How rewarding is it that X-Men 97 has come out on Disney Plus and it's awesome? Because it all started back in the VHS or that pilot that Fox did for $300,000 Pride of the X-Men in the late 80s that turned into the Fox TV show. And you know I was addicted to that every week. And it's really good here on Disney Plus. I'm rambling, but I just wanted to give you guys my own geek chronology. From there in high school, I worked in a comic book store. That was my high school job. And I've pretty much been doing that stuff ever since. If you guys go back in the Geekscape feed, you see interviews with people like Stan Lee or who else? Simon Pegg. I can't even name them. Like Chris Hardwick, he came on for a stretch. Felicia Day, I saw her about 2 weeks ago at a birthday kid's birthday party. That's what happens when your friends start having kids and you're geeks. My baby's coming in August, and you know we're gonna have those geek birthday parties. I can't wait. The geek clothing has already started being donated to us. My friend Jim Pellegrinelli, who listens sometimes, sent a, speaking of X-Men, a multiple man onesie. If you want to do a geek cut X-Men mutant character, multiple man, it has a little logo with the dots and the lines. That's coming. I think there's some Totoro stuff in the future for our daughter. So, I'm sorry, but the geek have inherited the earth, and here on Geekscape, we like to celebrate that. I really loved that last episode. Thank you guys for the feedback on that one. Daniel Brown's movie, Your Lucky Day, is awesome. You guys should check it out on Netflix. And it was great having Jim from Bingetown TV, one of our other podcasts here on the Geekscape Network, to join me. Jim is knowledgeable, he's enthusiastic, and if you guys are TV fans, Bingetown TV is really our corner of the Geekscape podcast network that is all things TV, and those podcasters, they do a great job, and they're really, really kicking ass on the download numbers and stuff like that. But Jim is back today because we have another TV actor on the show, or another TV related guest. Our friend RJ Mitty, who played Walt Jr. on Breaking Bad, is here to talk about a brand new movie called Triumph. It's on digital platforms and Vudu now. I think Vudu is a digital platform, but for some reason the press release said on all digital platforms and Vudu. Who knows? Maybe if you watch out on Vudu, you get a little extra, right? It's like that 4DX you get in the movie theater where it sprays stuff on your face and like shakes you. Let's start it up on the Geekscape. Let's come back. Let's talk to RJ and Jim about RJ's brand new movie, Triumph. And we'll talk some other geek stuff. And you know where to be, right here on Geekscape. All right, Geekscapists, maybe you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, or on LinkedIn. You know we're streaming to LinkedIn right now, so why don't you just pause from handing out those resumes, applying to those jobs, and just sit back for a little bit. Enjoy our conversation with RJ. Jim and I are going to talk to him about this brand new movie, Triumph, on digital platforms and Vudu right now. And of course, you know him as Walt Jr. from Breaking Bad. And also, Though I had another thought and it just like went out. If you're, oh yeah, this is it. If you're listening to the podcast version, the audio version, there's a new bit of intro, new music bed. And that is done by my good friend, Kevin McCaffrey, who was always a musician in college. And he's who I did radio with in college. And our infamous Blink-182 interview where we dressed as Mexican wrestlers and kind of weirded out Travis Barker. That will be coming to the feed with Kevin and I's commentary. Kevin and I just have to figure out how to, when to record it. He's in Singapore 15 hours ahead of now. But if you enjoy that music that you hear as the music bed on the podcast version of the feed, cool. Kevin has a whole album coming out. So he gave me some music to put there. And you should be subscribing to the audio version of the podcast as well, because stuff like my conversation with Rockne O'Bannon, who created Farscape, that Geekscape's named after, that's going real geeky, will be up exclusively on the audio feed as well. All right, let's get Jim and RJ in here. Jim, you good?
I'm good.
And here's RJ.
How's it going?
RJ, I'm sorry to interrupt your Xbox, your PS5 gaming.
Hey, I'm still playing right now. That's why you can't. I got hey, actually calm down. I'm PlayStation now.
Yeah. Okay.
I've converted.
Can we talk about that? Because like I'm a PlayStation person too, but back in the 360 era, the Xbox 360, like that was the system. You had that to have
an amp. So I have like the Halo model. I have the original, like all the original ones with the big booster packs that sit on top. I always like made it a little uneven. Yeah.
He just outgeeked me on Geekscape. Yo, he just
outgeeked there it is.
So if I was actually in my room right now, I would show you. I have a wall and I have all my original I've gamed a lot over my lifetime, and so one of the big things for me is I've been able to save all my consoles.
That's awesome.
Do you know how hard that has been to drag 90s and early 2000s consoles around?
That's very bulky.
Throw them.
I know your pain.
What was your first console? Because for me, it's that NES, the 8-bit NES. But like, what did you start on?
Oh, I thought you were going to say like, never mind. Anyway, Nintendo 64 was my jam because you got to blow in the cartridges.
You did that with the original NES as well.
Yeah.
Original NES, like you had to do that to make sure.
Yeah, but you didn't have to blow as hard.
Oh yeah, you just keep it. Yeah.
RJ, I'm sorry, but like you did. You give yourself migraine doing that stuff. The N64 was like that was my college system. And I think my biggest accomplishment in college was defeating Ganon in Ocarina and just being like, hell.
There you go.
Yes. And probably my least best accomplishment was once I'd started dating, transferring my Pokemon from Pokemon Red to Pokemon Yellow, getting two Mewtwos, and then throwing those motherfuckers into Pokemon Stadium, seeing them come to life and being unstoppable. Yeah. I don't know if you can call that a victory. That might actually go in the other direction when you're dating.
I mean, that's the beginning stages of cheating when you bought when you bought Red, Blue, Yellow, and Green. Trade with yourself before you go to like the comic book shop to go battle other people for their cards with your loaded deck.
There was a rule shortly thereafter called no doubles.
No doubles.
And I think I was responsible for the no doubles rule. They're like, this dork with his double Mewtwo's is coming in here to take our money again. And, you know.
The big thing was the Pikachu. The Pikachu from Yellow versus Blue, Red, and Green. Because you couldn't get the same thing. And so, like, for me, I put all mine on my Yellow one.
So you can have the Pikachu with it. There you go.
Is that the Pikachu you could teach surf?
You could teach that Pikachu anything.
Yeah, because that's the one that would follow you around.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the one on Yellow, and I had Yellow, but wasn't there a Pikachu that you could teach Surf to?
I'm
pretty sure that one lets you do everything. I'm not positive though.
That Pikachu lets you do everything.
Yeah. I think at that point I was 21 years old, and that was the only thing in my life that would let me do anything to it.
I was 9.
You're just gonna rub that in. I know, RJ. I know.
While we're on the Pokemon topic, I just recently rediscovered my old binder. Ooh, so you know how like everyone's rediscovering their binder.
You can make some money off that.
They're mine. I want to get them graded, but that's very complicated. People are like, oh yeah, just get them graded. I'm like, well, if they're very expensive, you're not going to give them back to me.
Yeah, that GVC stuff too. My storage unit. What you just said about your consoles is actually comic book boxes for me. I have about 75 comic book boxes, like the actual comic book boxes, and they're in storage at the moment. I could build probably a room with the out of walls with these comic book boxes.
Save them.
And yeah, but people are like, you got to get them to GDC and get them all graded. And I'm like, dude, just the idea of going through them, organizing them, and finding the really, and there are some great ones in there, but like just the idea of going through that stuff in storage is brutal.
Right.
I don't even know when I'd be able to do that.
So we're all collectors. So we all have a lot of things that could be worth value and things that they're valuable to us.
Yes.
Emotionally.
And that's how I feel about like all my stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's worth this. But it's like, in reality though, it's like, I don't really care about the monetary value of that. For me, it was like, that was my first, like, this was my first console. Or this was that, like, that I carried this with me through all my games. Or I like with Pokemon, my first pack had a Charizard in it. Whoa. And like very first opening pack, like I remember that day, like it was my birthday. I was at a public pool. Someone handed me my first pack. I opened it and Charizard was there, and I was like, saving this forever, you know.
What I love is that he, you know, RJ went on to act in Breaking Bad, which is centered around like the got some drug trade, but like already he was experienced because somebody over the pool was like, hey man. Psst.
You got that Charizard.
Hey, man.
I got a pack. I got a pack. Guaranteed. Guaranteed Charizard in this pack.
RJ, you're from Texas like myself.
Loosely.
Loosely.
I grew up between my dad's side's from Texas, my mom's side's from Louisiana, and I was born in Mississippi.
Like, talk to me about that, because like reading up on you and Geekscape is, RJ's got this brand new movie Triumph, and it's based on a true story from the screenwriter, but it's about overcoming this obstacle of wanting to be a wrestler in high school. Talk about it a bit.
So both watched the movie.
We liked it.
Do y'all like it?
Actually,
if y'all didn't like it, y'all could tell me. It won't hurt my feelings.
We're not gonna tell you that.
Okay.
We would never tell you.
So you didn't like it. No.
No, because Jim's a big wrestling fan, and then my younger brother was a WWE wrestler, but in high school he couldn't do any of the WWE wrestling stuff, of course. But we didn't even have a wrestling team, so he started the wrestling team at our high school in Austin.
Yeah.
And then he went on to doing the TV stuff. But it all started there on like the high school circuit stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and that really I think started a lot into, you know, it was an Olympic sport for a long time, and then it just kind of fell off, and then they tried to bring it back with school programs, and it like had an allure, but like, you know, people with the tights. But anyway, Michael Coffey, who wrote the movie, it's based on his life and his experiences that he faced along the way. And what I find so amazing about this, that it's loosely based on a true story. But the most amazing thing about film and our industry is that we can kind of rewrite history a little bit. And so with what he did he wanted to achieve these goals. And he was born in the 80s, or really in the late 70s, but went to school in the 80s. And people with disabilities in the 80s really didn't get a lot of opportunity. And for him and his life, you know, this movie was kind of like if the world didn't tell me no, and I didn't accept this at that time, this is what would have happened for me in my life. And it's really... everything that my character Mike goes through is things that he went through, but he did the opposite.
What do you mean?
In the movie, he stands up to his father and he stands up to like people and he makes these friends. And in reality, he didn't, and he didn't get that opportunity. And the world kind of dictated who he was going to become, and instead of who he was. And so this movie is kind of an homage to the sacrifices that he made to get to the point to make this movie. And I think for me, that's something that's so special. And at the time, I've been working on this project for over 7 years now. And we've had battles along the way, every step from production side to other entities. And it just showed me how important this movie was. Because I usually find the hardest things in life are worth everything. And so the battles that we faced, we became triumphant in getting this movie released. And so, yeah, you know, Terrence Howard, Grace Victoria Cox, Colton Haynes. And so, you know, my character doesn't, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but he tries his best and that's all he does through this whole movie is he puts what he wants first and about making friendships and the needs and the battles. And, you know, he doesn't win every battle. He doesn't make all the friends, but what he does do is he finds out what he is capable of and changes the perceptions of what people see him as. And for me, that's something so special that we never see in film. And you know, we knew this film was special and we just had to get it out.
And Geekscape is, there's several times in the movie where I was like, oh, that's amazing. Like, he's in this movie. And like Colton Haynes, like, I love him from Arrow, dude. He was speedy in Arrow. But Jonathan Schenck, I think Jonathan called into Geekscape a few years ago and he's a legit geek too. He was talking comics on here with me and I was like,
all day.
No way, dude. Really? The good looking, super good looking dude here from
Jack, his arms are like this. Dude,
he plays your father in this movie and he's still looking good. And I was like, but he's a nerd. Why don't I? Nerd. Why can't I look good? Okay.
No, if you worked out and ate what he ate, you would look great.
For real? Because he looks, I mean, he's great, and I really enjoyed talking to him on Geekscape years ago.
If you heard it, I'm sure you heard his passion about the arts and comics and all the things that he's passionate about. You should hear him talk about health and diet, and kind of, like, he's equally as passionate about that.
That's great, man. So RJ, I'm watching this movie, and of course, like the Breaking Bad and stuff like that. That's Jim's favorite show. It's a lot of people's favorite shows of all time. I love that show. Giancarlo Esposito helped me propose to my wife on stage at Comic-Con. So like, I love I owe the whole thing, right? Like, I love the Breaking Bad. I love the Better Call Saul. I love that whole world.
And that we did too.
And
it's a special.
But Geekscape is, and I know y'all want to talk some Breaking Bad, Jim. I know you do. But RJ, I think you're the actual thing that I'm most interested in about is your parallels with the Mike character in this movie.
Agreed.
In real life, because dealing with cerebral palsy, being born with an issue where the your cord was wrapped around your neck, as it also says in the character in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, this is why you had the brain damage that led to cerebral palsy in your real life.
Yep.
Then I find out you were immediately like adopted. And then I find out your parents went through a separation. And then I didn't research too deep. I wanted to get your story and honestly, your comfort level with talking about this because
I do it professionally. Like,
and you know what's funny? My film producer, Noam, said he's shared a stage with you on panels and said you're a great guy. I don't know anybody I looked for people who talk trash about you. I couldn't find them. I'm going to keep looking.
They're out there. They're out there.
I ran out of time. But like, it almost feels like when you made this movie with the Mike's character, that the wellspring that you were drawing from was incredibly intimate to your real life.
Yeah. I mean, I as far as what I do as an actor, it all comes from experiences and living with and facing with different challenges from cerebral palsy to other injuries or living circumstances in life. And you know, I don't agree to roles unless I believe that I can do them justice and that I can portray them in a light that is realistic and relevant and that has meaningful impact. You know, I there's a lot of movies out there that you know, they're good and they're great, but they really don't have substance and it's a cash grab. And for me, where I like to try to grab as much cash is the substance.
Sure.
And where it's stories that aren't told and you know, so many people have this journey This is not like some abnormal once in a like once in a million. You know, it's like one out of 10 or one out of I don't remember what it is, but a lot of people have CP and don't even know they have it. And like same thing with autism, same thing with like the spectrum and different types of disabilities, you know. As we've evolved technologies, we've like, oh, that's kind of not the traditional norm. And, you know, I'm very lucky that I learned at a very young age to embrace it and to not view others that are different from me as abnormal. But we all face similar battles and we all have these struggles, but we don't talk about them and we hide them and we put them somewhere where it's like they're safe. And so like for me, I want to open that up and I want to show people it's like how important it is to give someone an opportunity, even if you think they might get hurt, even if you think that they're not capable of doing these things. And my big thing growing up was can't is a decision. You know, we choose to say, I can't do that. I can't be this. I can't. But in reality, nothing happens overnight. And it takes time and exercise and treatments or whatever it is that you're trying to achieve to negate that can't, because that comes from other people. That doesn't come from yourself. And so I just do my best to show that. And with stories like Triumph, it gives me that opportunity to show a like-minded, a realistic story that people are facing today.
And RJ, knowing that you've had several walls that you've had to burst through.
Dude, I still got walls, man.
I know.
All day long. Yeah, everyone does.
It was your decision to move back to Texas, all right? Like,
I love it. I'm so happy I'm in Texas.
Until the power grid fails in February and you're freezing your tuckus off.
I got a generator.
And Ted Cruz flies over your head so you can go back to Cancun. Uh-huh.
I live in Mexico pretty much. We don't pretty have much that
you
issue.
Do. Pretty much you do. You'll just like take a little boat around there.
I go south.
We used to make that drive from Austin to Guadalajara to visit our family every summer, and I miss it dearly. Like and I need to take
11 hours.
Yeah, but it was worth it because it's like my grandfather and my mom would drive, and
I do 11 hours like standing on my head. I drive to California like about 10 times a year.
Come out and visit. You can be on Geekscape right here.
Yes.
And the thing is, what was the hard? I mean, I can't even ask you like what the hardest one is, but like, I'm reading like your mother had paralysis. By 13, yeah, you were kind of like economically in charge.
You all know all the hardships. Is that
yeah?
That
because
give me the hardship.
Because the thing, RJ, like, what were the points where you had to actually push yourself through the can't that almost felt insurmountable?
Dude, right now, every day.
This conversation? You know, yeah, I right, know. I'm
this you're making me talk about this, Jonathan. I'm out.
you're making me talk about this. I think it all, for me, I remember my biggest decision where I went, and I know it's like, I can't, for lack of a better term, from where I was a boy to a man. Like, I remember making a decision. So my sister was born. And that's what brought us to California was my sister. She was 1.5 at the time, and someone saw her at a water park, and that's what brought us to LA. But about a year before that, 3 months after my sister was born, and during my mom's pregnancy with her, she had hyperemesis. I don't know, for people that don't know what that is, that's pretty much where the body rejects the baby. Mm. And so the body is trying to kill the baby every step of the way. And so it was a horrible pregnancy. My mom was sick. Like I can only think of like a week that she wasn't sick with my sister. Mm-hmm. And she had ovarian cancer when she was in her teens and early 20s, and so she wasn't supposed to have children. And so we kind of looked at like everyone kind of looked at this as a sign of like, well, you weren't supposed to have a child. You're having a child, so I guess you should probably keep it, you know? Yeah. And the hyperemesis was really rough. And so we had a rough pregnancy with that. And then my sister was born, which, was amazing. And then about 2 months later, my mom, was in a car accident. And it pretty much, like, she had to get a metal cage put into her back. It ruptured all her discs and all kinds of things. And that recovery took about 7 years. For the first, like, 4 years, she couldn't lift my sister. She couldn't lift anything heavier than a loaf of bread. And so I remember after the car accident, because, like, my parents divorced when I was 2 months old, and my dad had some mental issues. He was bipolar and schizophrenic and manic depressed, all the things, you know. And so he was kind of like, it turned into like, if you leave me, you'll have nothing. And so we had nothing. And we lived with my grandparents for many years, and we bounced around, and I spent a lot of time with my uncles. And right when my sister, like right before we just got a house, it was the first time that me and my mom had our own space in like pretty much the entirety of my existence at that point. And so we're doing the things. I'm taking care of her with a hyperemesis. She has the baby. We're going to school. I'm about like 11 years old, 12 at the time, I think, probably closer to 11. And the accident happens, and it's like, well, you can't lift her, you can't do these things, you're not gonna be able to work, like, and so she really couldn't do. She could still walk, but like,
sure,
but like walking, mm-hmm. walking is great. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that get into car accidents, and like it's over, you know, for a lot of things for them. And for her,
my former co-host Kenny was on his way back from Vegas, and the like lug nuts and part stuff on its tires weren't put on right, and it flipped and the cage collapsed, and he's a quadriplegic. You guys remember Kenny? We love Kenny.
But I mean, accidents happen. Like all the time, accidents are happening, and you know, one day you're whatever you think you are, and you know, something happens and it changes you. And you know, for better or worse, I think it's a great opportunity that what we have as human beings to evolve and to grow and to take something that some people can't handle, but there's nothing in life that our species can't handle. And I remember though, sitting with my mom and she's crying, and we're talking about like, what are we going to do, right? What are the next steps to try to have a life?
And you're 11.
And I'm 11. And she's like, we're going to sell the house. We're going back to my grandparents. We're going to do this.
You almost sold the Charizard card? So
I probably would have. No one bought Charizard cards back then.
right, no one
cared about memorabilia. Remember the geeks got the earth now, man.
We care now.
We care now, but 20 years ago, if you would have tried to sell a Charizard for like $20 million, you would have got laughed in your face. but like, we're having this conversation. I'm like, I can do it. And I remember that conversation like
you said that.
I'm 32 now, and I remember that conversation so clearly, and I'm like, Mom, we can do it. I can do this. Whatever you need, I'm gonna make it happen. We're going to make it happen. And you know, I did work. I started working when I was like 8, not in the industry, but like in construction and fishing and other things, and so like I had a work ethic to be like, look, I'll do whatever it takes. We're not losing our house. We're not moving back to grandma's. We're going to make it work. And so from that day forward, I made it work. And you know, through her recoveries and then raising my sister and then all the things that happened along the way, you know, about a year after, about a year and a half after my sister was born, so my mom's still kind of fresh, injured. My grandparents on both sides were dying at the time. And so, like, I'm back and forth between both my grandparents. And so we're kind of like, see, I can go into a lot more details because a lot of other things were happening, which put us into Houston. Because right after about a year or 6 months after my sister had born, my grandmother on my mother's side And my grandfather was fully paralyzed from a stroke in 92. So he was in a wheelchair, and my grandmother was had cancer on my father's side. And my father, mentally not well, could not handle a lot of it. So we took on that responsibility as well at the time, of going back and making sure they're okay and kind of figuring that out. And they were like, well, hey, sell your house. We're going to move you to Houston. If you're going to keep driving back and forth like this, we're going to move you to Houston. And so we moved to Houston right after that. And it was a lot nicer house, so I was okay selling the old one.
It had to be in Houston.
Had to be in Houston.
I'm an Austin snob, but it had to be in Houston.
Well,
at least,
well, because my grandparents lived in Austin.
You're right.
And my mom's side of the family lived in Lafayette, Louisiana. So wow. Houston right was the middle road. So it was 2.5 hours in case of an emergency. We had to get to Austin. Or if there was another emergency in Lafayette, it was another 2.5 hours to get to Lafayette.
Smart. Yeah.
And so that was kind of the middle ground for us of driving back and forth. And an agent saw my sister at a water park and was like, hey, I'm casting for a Lusso Ball campaign. I've been looking for redhead babies all over the nation. Your baby is perfect. Let me get your information, and we'd love for you to – like. We're like, who is this crazy woman at the time? And it turned out to be a legitimate agent, not some random – they were on like a family retreat or something at this park.
And RJ, I just watched that Nickelodeon documentary series. Yeah.
I've seen clips. I haven't watched the whole thing yet. So.
Look, all I can tell you about the entertainment industry is that there are monsters and there are angels, and like some people are very like, it's a business. It's a $1 billion industry. You know, people don't make billions of dollars being good people. You know, not everyone gets to live when you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. So we're like, yeah, why not? What's the worst thing that could happen? You know, mom's kind of recovering. She's able to do a little more than normal. And we're like, let's go to LA. It's a free trip. It's 6 months. It's going to pay her. It's going to give us a place, and they'll take care of cars. And so we go, and then that turned into a career.
It brought you out here. You ended up on the radar of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. So when I got there, they were like, so RJ, would you like to try acting? And I'm like, you know, one of my favorite things that I tell people about LA, and it's not the same because technology is different, but back in the early 2000s, if you were in LA and you weren't from there, you didn't go to school, and you didn't act, why the point are you there? There's nothing for you at the time, you know? So I was like, yeah, I want to try this thing, and I started doing extra work. I was on Hannah Montana, Everybody Hates Chris, Weed, Seventh Heaven, about 14 different shows and movies as an extra. And actually, one of my very first auditions, you'll get a kick out of this, was a PSA for the state of California for an anti-meth campaign. and you can
full
find
circle.
It. Full circle. You can find this campaign in 2006, 2007. It was like a father coming in high on meth and like screaming and throwing stuff at the family, and like it was like methamphetamine.
It just says meth.
Don't
meth.
Do it.
But I didn't get the role. I didn't get the part. And then fast forward like a year later, I started auditioning for Breaking Bad.
You got the more important one.
I got the more important.
You got the when it comes to meth entertainment.
Yeah, right.
The subset of our friend Melissa Sanchez is in the conversation over on Facebook. She says, "How come you didn't tell me you were having him on?" Melissa, I told everybody I was having him on. I posted it. You guys saw that. Melissa's one of our friends. Melissa also has an ailment that keeps her. Actually, Alyssa's in a chair, and she comes to the. She used to come to the Geekscape booth, and we'd have Melissa. She's an incredible artist, and a wonderful TV fan. And she's been with Geekscape since the start. I first met Melissa because I'd shoot punk music videos, and I'd go to punk shows, and there's effing Melissa in the mosh pit. Like, that's what? Awesome. And she just, and she just isn't going to take no for, she isn't going to take no for an answer. And she'd show us art that she would do for bands, and the bands would put the art out. And then I was like, Melissa, why don't you do some stuff for Geekscape? And then you've signed it at Comic-Con a few times for us, right? Melissa, yeah. You are welcome to come back at any time, Melissa. We love you here. And one of the coolest things I ever did on Geekscape was she sent me one of her Mogwai pieces of artwork, and I had the director Joe Dante, who did Gremlins, sign it. And
I have a Gremlins story, actually.
Sure, let's kick it for Melissa, your Gremlins story.
So I don't know the verification of this, but my buddy for many years told me about this, that before Gremlins came out, his dog Gizmo, he met the people, and his dog Gizmo was Gizmo
in the, that's the who they mod. Named Gizmo after.
Yeah,
was his dog.
Wow.
It was his dog, and this was many moons ago. Yeah,
I think we gotta let's go with that. Let's verify
we'll
that. It.
Right, we'll verify. It's in. We have a guy, Skye Overgaard.
We'll do any. I mean, Gremlins, when it comes to Gremlins, which is like my favorite Christmas movie, it's one of my favorite movies. I'm all in on the Gremlins stuff. We had Brendan Hay, who was a writer on this HBO Max animated Gremlins show Comic-Con. And if somebody says Gremlins,
you're about it.
I'm bringing them on Geekscape for sure. So Jim, you're the Breaking Bad fan. It's your favorite show of all time.
It is my favorite show. But first, I do want to talk. I didn't get a chance to tell you. I loved your portrayal in this. Just, I appreciate you telling this story that you just told us, as hard as it is. But you can see through that story how much this movie meant to you, even if you weren't going to tell us that in the intro. So, I mean, I don't know if it was you or Mike talking. I mean, the positivity, the enthusiasm, you don't have any reason. There's been people that have had so much less happen to them and just let it be the failure, quote unquote.
I didn't tell you about the time when I wanted to play sports and everyone told me no, no, no. And then I went and played soccer and no issue. But now I told you. No.
Right. I mean, that it's amazing to hear this kind of stuff. Like when you have a character like this, yes, I love Breaking Bad. I love Walt Jr. I love all different types of movies, but I love that you said, not all movies you come out with something specific from them, you know, like this one. I couldn't stop smiling when it's the uplifting part of it. At certain times you're like, yeah, like let's go. But also there's never enough of these kind of movies, you know, like you said, there's so many people dealing with this kind of thing, and to have someone be able to watch this and say, you know what, I am going to try this. And even Jonathan, like you were saying, our Geekscape friend in the mosh pit, that's the kind of stuff that you need to be able to see way more often. And that's why I really loved watching this movie, and it really seemed like it was an extension of yourself, because talking to you right now, like I said, I can't tell who I'm talking to, if it's Mike or RJ, just because it just, you're telling us this story and it's very similar, different story, but similar in the way that you reacted. And like you said, you became an adult at a very young age. You know, you had to become a man at a very young age making these decisions. So I'm sure I can't imagine how much this movie meant to you. And again, the fact that you said it took 7 years to make, that's another one of those huge obstacles. And Jonathan, I know you're dealing with stuff like that all the time.
Oh my God. I was just working on a deck. I was telling Jim, I was like, I have to finish this deck to send out in the morning before I, you know, cause we're always trying to put projects together.
Yeah.
But, RJ, the reason I wanted you to talk a bit about your own personal life is just to give that background that you've been through it, and this character reflects that. And Geekscape is like that's the movie, and RJ, like,
you know, I think
you're inspirational, man.
Yeah, I agree.
I appreciate that. I think for me, a big part of this movie and making sure it happened was, you know, we all make decisions in life, and sometimes we don't get the opportunity to make the decisions that we want, you know, and we have to choose, you know, it's a decision. It's a decision to be like, I am going to pick your well-being over my well-being. And, you know, for a lot of people in life, they can't get past that. You know, they can't, it's, you know, it's that high school football star with a bum knee, right? it's like he's 50 years old still talking about the glory days. And you know, it's like, man, if I could have made a left instead of a right. And I think through film we can have an opportunity to say, well, here is your left instead of your right turn, and to recognize it and to hopefully inspire others to make that decision as well.
Not to say that people don't make mistakes. I mean, people make mistakes, but I mean, life is such. I remember, this is very personal, Geekscapes, but like through tough times in my life, failed marriage. My older brother died. He was killed outside of Austin in '96. Like a lot of you guys know the story if you've been listening to Geekscape so long, but just the amount of times, like I've just been on my butt and just wanting to stay there, you know. And I just remember my dad telling me something. And Geekscape this is science based, and you know, you get to watch the SpaceX launches from your bedroom, probably.
By the way, I love your intro. I love it a lot.
Thank you. My dad just, I remember in a tough time I was having in the last couple of years, just telling me, and Geekscape has fact checks this one because I think it's really interesting, is that when man launched for the moon, they had all the mathematics, they had the smartest people on Earth there, and you know, doing it, but they were actually really on that course. The astronauts that went to the moon were really only on that pre-planned course for like a single digit percentile of that mission, because so much of it was course correction. So much of it was them being up there and then realizing that they needed to correct their course in order to stay and the parameters of getting to the moon. I mean, imagine like they were stuck on that first plan. That first plan, it would have failed, and you would have ended up like freaking Tommy Lee Jones and Space Cowboys or whatever. Like, but that's life. Life is course correction, and life is not giving up because it went wrong.
Yep.
You know,
and that's something that like as if you're doing the things that you're passionate about, if you're doing the things that are dear to you, it's going to correct naturally, you know? Like sometimes there are elements in life that I find where it's like, well, if I keep doing it this way, this is the path, you know? And it's like, man, I don't really like this path. How can I find that moment for me to shift into the path I want to see? And that's a lot of reflection internally. And then being like, okay, I want to choose the hard path. Because the easy path doesn't work.
But you're talking about faith in a sense as well.
Yeah, I mean, faith, I mean, everyone has their own different terms, but I mean, sure. Belief and faith and hope and these aspects of life that we've heard about for thousands of years that some people are like, oh, that's cheesy. Don't believe in yourself. I mean,
the force or whatever, man. It is. Like, yeah, like, yeah.
That guidance, but we choose when we're doing something out of rush or panic or stress, we lose that energy, that momentum. And you know, it's okay to lose it sometimes, but when we lose it forever is when we lose ourselves.
How much did community have to do with your ability to get back on? Because I know for me, community and Geekscape is sincerely like stuff like Geekscape and the community we've built here. That stuff has really helped me keep going.
Community is everything. Community is everything. If you here's a great example, and I love saying this. So I work with many different nonprofits all over the world. And one of them that, which is actually an Austin, which you might know of, called Mobile Loaves and Fishes.
Yes, I do know Mobile Loaves and Fishes.
You for sure do. They're a great organization. Their mission is combating homelessness, and they, the gentleman that founded it, told me in the beginning when they were first getting their community garden built and their community living spaces built, and he's like, "What's the number one reason for homelessness?" And I'm like, I couldn't tell you. And he's like, just give me one. And I'm like, I don't know, like mental illness, abuse, you know, the stuff that we always hear.
Not texting billionaires.
Like, not texting billionaires. No. he said the number one reason for homelessness is, it has nothing to do with any of those. It's catastrophic loss of community. Hmm. When we have catastrophically lost our community and you have no place to turn to, the only place you're going to be going to is out on the street, and the street creates community. And when you live in this community of people that are like-minded you, that their previous community has casted them out, this community doesn't judge. They don't care how much drugs you're doing. They don't care about your mental illness. They don't care you panhandling. No one's judging you for those actions. And that's why people tend to stay homeless. Why would I go back to this community that threw me away? Why would I go back to a community that's going to judge me for doing these things or whatever it may be? And in that, he's like, the struggle is reintroducing them into a loving, caring community that is not going to judge or devalue who they are as individuals. And that changed my perspective of not just homelessness, but so many different factors in life. And the struggle is within community, because, you know, you have community, like people with disabilities don't like people with disabilities. You know, it's a very interesting thing. When it comes to that, because there are people that have elements of like it's like if you have the same thing as me, but you can't walk, and you think, and you know, and it's like why didn't I get the same disability? Why? And I'm just using that as an example, but it's sure. within every community you have that, and so finding how to dispel that negativity and create more. You know, inclusive environments have been overphrased, but true inclusivity, true like that truth inside itself, and finding that, I community is number one on my list. When I look at what I do or the impact that I'm having or the impact I'm trying to make in a community, or city or whatever it is, I look at the community and I go, what are the community's leads? And I look at it from the bottom of the community to the top of the community. And if it doesn't check all of them, that's not going to help the community.
Jim, you love this guy?
I don't even need to talk Breaking Bad. I'm good.
No, we want to talk. People want to hear about Breaking Bad.
Beyond your ears.
In 18
goodness.
Years, we've had some straight assholes on this show, but I love this guy.
I'm not surprised at all from everything you've said so far that you said – you know, you pick roles based on what you can put into them and what you can get from them. It's not just about the money. I mean, you're Walt Jr. from Breaking Bad. You probably had a million options out there and you choose to do Triumph and you choose to take 7 years of your life to make sure that this movie got finished. So it's just amazing stuff. Yeah, that's amazing.
And you brought people into it like Colton. I think some of the stuff that Colton does is really important as well in that community.
Yeah, right? Very much so.
And so just being an advocate, right? And Geekscape, that's his story to tell. But it sounds like you're gravitating towards people who want to help you in this mission.
I try. You know, that like-minded individuals that want to grow that may not know how. And, you know, I find I don't seek them out. It kind of happens organically, and I think for me that's another factor of don't force it, like let it evolve, and with Triumph and all my and all my other movies, really, I do my best to let my character help evolve naturally, which helps other actors evolve naturally, and you know, when we're all doing it together, you're creating, like, you know, where one story starts and then you're filmed it and you look at it and go, man, that's not what I thought, but it's amazing. That's not what I wrote, but the meanings are there and the story
the collaboration.
Is there. Yeah.
And the fact that it's a tapestry built from all these people working towards a shared cause.
Yeah.
Jim wants to know what,
Jim, what do you want to know? You can talk now, Jim. It's okay.
I'm like, hey, Jim wants to know what Bryan Cranston eats in the morning. Okay. He's like, what's Vince McGilligan's secret?
Oh my god.
I want to know.
I can have this conversation forever, RJ.
Me too.
I really can. This is the reason that Geekscape's slogan is don't hate, create. Especially in this internet where people are just like talking shit and they're not getting anything.
It's lucrative for them, though.
It's crap. The clickbait is just crap. I don't care if three people hear this.
Nah.
I don't care if three, honestly, I do not care if three people hear this. As long as they have their perspective improved a little bit, or get a little, maybe you're happier because you listen to it.
And you don't know. That's the best thing about our industry is you don't know the impact that you, like I have learned over the years of working in philanthropy that the littlest things have made the biggest impact. And when I have tried to do the biggest things and spent the time and I'm like, this is going to be it. This is going to be huge. We're going to help so many people. We're going to change lives. And then nothing happens. And then the small insignificant conversation that I thought was like, oh, it's just whatever, comes back later on. And I find out all this different information that from that smallest spark. And that is what true impact is.
Yeah, it's almost the message of the Hobbit, is it not? Like the smallest among us.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
A book that I discovered. My parents had gotten divorced, and my dad had, I'm in fourth grade. My dad gave me that book, The Hobbit, and I read it in the back of the minivan driving down to Guadalajara.
Was it maroon? Was it leather maroon?
It was a blue. It was a blue minivan, and it did not make the trip. I mean, it flipped. It flipped out there on the road just north of like Oaxaca or so, wherever, like north of Guadalajara. There's a freeway their freeways aren't curved. At least they weren't back in the late 80s, early 90s. They aren't curved to the water. So the water sits on them. And if you hit the brakes wrong after a rainstorm, it'll go out. And that, I remember that happening. But The Hobbit was that book that really told me, like, the smallest among us. But it's, you know, the lesson has to be relearned every time because life is hard. Life is hard. And again, course correction is unclear.
So I got this weird cosmic energy thing that happens to me, and I've noticed it in my life, and my girl, my partner, is in the beginning, she was like, that doesn't sound like karma. And it goes to the no good deed goes unpunished.
He's gonna tell us he's an X-Men.
No. I find like when you do too much good, though, it has to balance. The world has to realign,
right?
And so I don't know why that karmic energy always follows me. So, but I had a point to saying that, and I lost it.
Well, the rough stuff that's happened in your life, I think, that has turned you. I mean, it's like steel, hard steel.
You're gonna tell me I'm jaded? Is that what?
No, I'm not gonna tell you you're jaded because you're like one of the least jaded people I've ever had on the show. If anybody's been jaded, it's this guy over here, and it's something that I have to battle against all the time. Geekscape, this is, I think we all do, really, because you know
it's hard. Life is hard.
Life is hard, but I think this energy, if you can describe it, like. You know, you're not an X-Men though, are you? Like you're putting so much good out there, RJ, but I think so much is like objectively bad. So much objectively bad has happened to you in your life.
Right.
Oh man, I haven't even told you half of it. I
know the Geekscape boss. I'm good. We can keep this going for 9 hours. No kidding.
No.
Now it's a live stream.
But you choose again, you know, you can choose like, you know, bad things are going to happen in the world, and I find the more you see this world and for what this world is, and people you talk to, you know, bad things happen, but it's what you do with that and what you do with what happens to you. You know, you can either choose to allow it to decay who you are and devalue that like, you know, like think of it like a flower, you know. You can either like pick that flower and stick it in the sun and let it dry out and rot, or you can nurture it and put it in water. And you know, it's you're the picked flower. Are you going in the water or are you going in the dirt? And so
But sometimes your pain is so acute that you can't see beyond yourself, and you end up doing some really horrid things to people. And maybe
usually it's the people
immediately right there because they're there. And sometimes Heidi and my wife get in arguments, and she's like, Jonathan, it's just, you're only saying this because I'm the one who's here and I'm not going to give up on you. And I'm like, I love you. Thank you so much. I'm such a flawed person. Thank you so much.
But that's true love though. That's true love. Like unconditional. We don't really hear that word anymore. Unconditional love. You know, and I believe that no matter what people have done, be it good, bad, or otherwise, you know, everyone deserves unconditional love.
Sure.
And within reason. Within reason. Yeah. Because
just toss a bit of volcano. I got you.
Yeah. You know, maybe things will go back to normal.
We gave you a lot of chances.
We gave you a lot of chances. Walk the here's
volcano time. Just get on the helicopter.
But we have to find that within ourselves and that person. You know, sometimes we could do it for ourselves.
You have to figure yourself. You have to be the first person.
You have to be the first person, but not everyone can. And so, like, when you find someone though that can, sometimes you need that extra helping hand. And it usually doesn't come into a romantic position. You know, it's that caring person that can show you the way.
You can't. I don't think the romantic situation can happen if you're if you haven't already established that relationship with yourself, because
you're just going to hurt.
You're so codependent at that point. And we've been there, done that, sealed and deliver. I'm old enough to have made those mistakes.
Bury that box.
If you are a Geekscapist right now, you're like, motherfuckers, y'all started out talking about Pokemon. This is going so well. And what the fuck is
it went
this
deep.
Oprah?
Went deep.
What is this?
People Oprah need to hear this stuff, though. Seriously, they do. And they need to watch movies like Triumph, because I said I'm smiling. It's uplifting and stuff. But there's stories and there's lessons to be learned throughout this movie.
I don't want to give away the ending, but like y'all saw it, and y'all think it's going to be one way, and you're like, yeah. You go, because traditionally,
it's all about the mindset.
It's all about the mindset, and traditionally, we don't. Everyone gets what they want in the movie now. You know, this is the one thing I'm not a fan of movies right now or that are being made, is because it's like they're trying to cram everything the audience wants, and for me, I want a movie that's going to leave you wanting more. I want to leave you with a movie that's going to stun you or make you feel a certain way. Or, you know, as an actor, my job is to invoke emotion. My job is to make you feel whatever it is that you're already feeling, to bring that up a little more and to give you examples. And so, like, when you know, some movies are good for instant gratification. I love a good instant gratification movie.
Yeah.
But
those are fantasies.
That's not the reality. And
right.
We even now in our day-to-day lives don't have reality via social media and these personas that we've created that we put to the world. There's not many places anymore where someone could be their true self and not get either one canceled or two like lose their friends. You know? And not saying that they did anything bad. It's more of like if you go, I learned this in business. You can't show emotion in business. You know, if you show your sell or your opponent that you have emotion, love will get you killed. They're like, oh, look, you saw that? He was about to cry. Oh, you saw this? We know we can push him for more.
Right.
We know it, and sadly, that's our world that we live in. And when it comes to industry and business and corporations, like we've created these personas that hide that emotion, and over time we lose that of ourselves. And if we can't find it in art, and we can't find it in our life, and we can't find it in our work, where else are we going to find it?
Yeah.
This might be one of the most important Geekscapes to post here, just because
I love
what
guy.
You're saying with the social media stuff. If you want to compare it to Triumph here, if you try to be yourself, if you try to say, I'm going to do this, it could be a scenario, very likely, that the bully for Triumph is times a million hitting you on social media, and that's why you quit, right? You can't be yourself. You have to glamorize. You have to glorify everything. You can't, you know, some people can't deal with the bullies. Yeah. Mike could.
The Don't Hate Create t-shirt came out of the Star Wars actresses getting, like, just leaving Instagram because these Star Wars trolls were like, there'll be no women in the Star Wars universe. And I was like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Like, are you kidding me? Like, if anything, I want my Star Wars to be super freaking diverse. I want more blue people, and I want more different sexes, and I want different size people. I want like Babu Frick to have a family. Like, I want Star Wars to have a whole spectrum of stuff, or else it's just human dudes running around with lasers. And I'm like, that's not that. Like, I could do that anywhere. right? Like that's not sci-fi to me. You know what I mean? Like that ain't sci-fi to me. And so the idea that you're gonna run women out of freaking Star Wars is so.
But like, that's that, like, but again, ridiculous. That's this community, though. You know, there are these community, like, and sadly, there are these, communities that they feed each other this hate. They feed each other, like, and if you have a community filled with love, that community is going to give love to everyone they encounter. And if you have a community filled with hate, that community is going to give hate. It's happened, like, that's what, for history.
Yeah.
But the difference is now we have enabled it to actually dictate business and dictate your life. And I mean, people die. People kill themselves over stuff like this. You know, happens. You know, when I ran a couple of anti-bullying campaigns over the years.
And when the meth one didn't work. When you didn't get that.
That was a PSA. That was a PSA for the state of California. But you know, when social media just started, because I'm very lucky that I'm so lucky I was in this industry before social media. I'm so happy that I didn't have
I'm
to
so deal with grateful
this
I went through high school and
me
everything
too.
For social media. That was insane.
I'm your age,
dude,
RJ.
We had
so.
We didn't do anything wrong.
I had to bully people with an abacus. There wasn't
You got a sundial happening. Yeah. Huh?
That's right.
My sundial's a little taller than yours.
I had to spell out skibbity toilet on an abacus. That's how I was. That's what I was as a middle schooler.
You just had boob on a calculator. But
yep.
Like,
yeah. Remember the Seven Dwarfs one?
Yeah.
You can't repeat it, but it was horrible. Snow White, Seven Dwarfs, and then you like do a multiplication, and then you turn it upside down. It says something horrid.
All right.
Will not be repeated here at Geekscape.
Not repeated here. But I'm like I was saying, man, when we made Breaking Bad, if we made Breaking Bad today, it wouldn't be even close to what it is. If the show came out now, it wouldn't have survived. I mean, we had a hard time surviving then. Every year.
It wasn't until that strike that allowed people to catch up, and then Netflix, like,
came
into existence. I tell people that all the time. The first two seasons of Breaking Bad was touch and go. People were not describing that show. And then the writer's strike happened in 2007. And
when
people
was the last
thought
time?
Enough. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
No,
off.
No, I was just, I told that story on Geekscape before. I was like, if you guys remember, because Geekscape started in 06, I was like, hey, guys, like that writer strike saved Breaking Bad because people had a break in which they could hear about the show, catch up on it on Netflix. It was one of those first Netflix.
And it cut our episode short. Can you imagine the first season ending any different way?
Mm-mm. Yeah, right.
Can you imagine it with 12 episodes instead of 8? Like, or 11, whatever. Like, actually.
Yeah. Pulls out the box set. He's like.
Okay, no, different suitcase.
suitcase? He, like, at any point, he can get to Mexico. He's got, like, the suitcases ready.
I mean, I'm 5 minutes from the international bridge, man.
What if he's even like. He's like, is this my Breaking Bad suitcase? A bunch of white powder hits.
Well, I do have a couple of Breaking Bad suitcases that I have around that have.
You can't
say
that on the internet.
What do you mean?
The feds will get you if you talk like that.
No, not drugs.
Memorabilia.
Memorabilia. Whoa. I'm close to Mexico, but I'm not that close to Mexico. but like I have all the scripts and stuff that I got, like the blue pages, the pink pages, chilling in a suitcase somewhere
cool.
around here.
That's cool. Jim, what are you betting on that? How much are you offering for that, Jim?
By the way, I saw, and I don't even know if this is true, and I think it is, and RJ, I don't know if you can confirm or deny, but I saw that Bryan Cranston's tidy whiteys from the episode one were sold. $10,000 or so?
$10,000, yeah, auctioned. Woo. Auctioned $10,000.
Honestly, I would think that they would have gone for more.
I thought they were going to go for more. Yeah. I was hoping they were gone for more, because I had my crutches. And
you're like, come on, baby.
Like, yo,
I'm not giving up that Charizard.
No, I'm not giving my crutches up either. The Smithsonian actually asked for them at one point. So Breaking Bad is actually in the Smithsonian for American movie history.
But as it should be.
It's definitely.
For that decade, maybe The Sopranos, but that's earlier. Like for that decade, what is the show that
that period of time has been labeled the golden age of television. Mm-hmm. So during that period of time was the golden age of television, and that included like Mad Men, Breaking Bad, Hell on Wheels, like all, like, you know, no, there was, there are movies and there are TV
Walking
shows.
Walking Dead, of course.
Like, Walking fact, Dead, Walking I mean, Dead, like, still echoes a today.
Juggernaut, right.
But like, really, there's movies and there are shows. And if you did shows, you only did shows. And if you did movies, you only did movies. And there was no crossover. And you know, Mad Men really pioneered the, some people don't like the word, but I love cinematic television. Like, true cinematic television. And that never existed before. I mean, The Sopranos kind
of
had it.
Laughed out of meetings. Like, my friend Ari had a meeting with someone, Laura Foss. He's a screenwriter. He's a really good screenwriter. And he was pitching his TV show, and the woman said, "Who do you see as the lead?" And he said, "Tim Roth." And she said, "Let me make this perfectly clear to you. Tim Roth is a movie actor, and he will never,
never.
With a period, ever do a TV show. Ever." Maybe not even 5 years later, Tim Roth, what did he do? What is it called? Lie to Me? Like, or whatever. Yeah. Like, he does a TV show.
Right.
You know, so when I first started, I was like, YouTube, right? I was like, well, maybe I should do a YouTube stuff. Maybe I like this media, you know? And my agents, like, set me down and said, if you go on YouTube, we are dropping you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We will not work with you. My like, and not just one agent. Multiple agents, and like, in hindsight, I'm like, I should have just said fuck you and did a YouTube thing, but like at the time it was so ingrained, and like the industry didn't want to lose control. Well, they didn't want to lose control, and and the TV, the movie, the film, the commercial, and then media. And when media took into place, a lot of industries lost money. And but I mean, it they didn't lose money, it all disperses. But they were like, no, you,
the watering
no
hole tools. Is like, not, it's not easy to siphon from the watering hole anymore because now everything's so. What's your OnlyFans if that's your logic?
Put the link in the description.
Wait, I didn't like, exist then,
yeah. I mean, I can put a lower thirds on here if you'd like.
I'm working on it.
I mean, it sounds like you're very progressive.
Oh, it's only breakfast, only
you
want
to be an early. You wanted to be an early, you know, adopter. The only fans. I have
only
one.
Breakfast. Only
I'm
breakfast.
I'm starting a website, Geekscapist, and you can be a part of it. But it's lonely fans.
Perfect.
Lonely. Nobody's fans. On. Nobody subscribes. It's just me.
I'll go there.
Cry. You. It's just me crying.
I'll soothe your loneliness. I like the way you cry.
RJ, what do you? Let's talk. What are you playing on your PS5? You're like an adamant PS5 guy now. What's the game?
So yeah. So it's hard because I'm always traveling.
Sure.
So I jump between. So I Overwatch, Fortnite, Apex, and then I used to play a lot of COD. But when you know that's 200 gigabytes, man. I play a lot of other games, and that 200 gigabyte space really threw me for a loop.
Do you ever think about getting one of those Steam?
The extra engines, yeah.
I mean, I said, like, because I like, because if I'm traveling a lot, I gotta have a PlayStation system, but then I also have my Switch for traveling,
right?
And then I'll sit down with people on the plane
had two
or something.
Switches stolen every time I get anytime I get an iPhone, a Switch, always gets
like
gone.
But they know,
I don't even know how.
But like they're like, hey, let's go steal with that kid who's like
straight up. I get.
That's messed up.
That is messed up.
But I always end up sitting on planes next to people who they pull out their Steam Deck, which is a very powerful system. It's like a PlayStation with a bunch of all sorts of stuff, and they always give me this smirk, like nice kitty toy. And then they play a game. Then they play a game from the fucking Dreamcast.
From the same,
like they pull out this really hot Steam Deck, and I'm like, oh shit, they're gonna play with like
Spidey God of War. You're gonna
Gonna go play like Ragnarok or something.
Yeah.
Something sick. And then they're like, oh yeah, here's fishing from my Dreamcast days.
No.
And I'm like, what the fuck? No. Are you doing a trucking simulator? You know what I mean? Like, you just talk shit.
Do you remember the suitcases that came out? Like 15 years ago, where you could plug your stuff into it and carry them. I was all about that until I lifted one.
Oh, yeah. I never had one, but I'm sure they're heavy.
But you said you don't quit, RJ, but you quit that kind of gaming. Because
no, man, that messed up my shoulder. Yeah. I was quick. So, like, literally, I was in Arizona on Saturday. And I flew back here on Sunday. Like, so
RJ, I appreciate you being here on Monday, man. Like, dude, I want you on the show all the freaking time. Are you playing do you play any of the games that are not like kicking the shit out of 12-year-olds online games? Like, play like the Spidey game or anything? Like
so,
that?
So I remember one of my favorite games. I played the first Spider-Man. I was a big fan of the Toby days. But I've been playing Avatar. I forget what the name of it, the Avatar movie based game, and that's what I've been playing. I mostly play online because for me it's so I have friends all over the place. I never really get to see anyone. Sure. It's either I'm home or I'm working, and so for me it's multiplayer games for the most part because we can go get into a party and play some games and you know. And talk and BS and do whatever. And so I used to play a lot of solo games. But as time, I've been doing the VR. I got the Quest 2. Uh-huh. I've been tearing it up. Talking about kicking the shit out of 12-year-olds. I literally, now the feds are coming. I'm like, there's this Kung Fu game I've been playing, man. It's like right to the face. They're like, boom. And when they go down, you hit them a couple of times on the ground. It doesn't count, but it shows everyone around you. It's like, who's next?
He lied to us.
Doesn't count, but we're doing it anyway.
Remember how he talked about balance? He was acting like he was such a good person earlier, but now he's talking about being a 12-year-old publicly.
It's balance. It's balance.
It's VR balance. It's not real.
He's like, I did my Mother Teresa act. Now I get to get the crap out of some 12-year-olds.
I taught a kid karate on it, actually. I was fighting some kid. I'm like, hey man, look, I don't think you're throwing the punch right. And I'm like, get into a stance. He goes, I'm like, do you ever do any martial arts? He's like, I've done karate a couple of times. I'm like, get into your karate stance. All right, now give me a high out, give me the punches. And he did it, and then he kicked my ass. And I was like, cool kid, have a great rest of your day. And
And then he's like, was that Walt Jr. that was just talking to me?
That kid sounded like Walt Jr.
That's hilarious. I mean, speaking of never getting to see anybody, how was the Breaking Bad reunion?
Dude.
With everybody looking fantastic on stage, my goodness, looking nice
herding
and sharp.
Herding cats. It was for so real. Amazing. Everyone was just so ecstatic, and we were all, you know, when I first started Breaking Bad, I didn't get to do the cast dinner in the first season. I was the very last person to be cast in the show. They were already filming the show when I was casted. And so looking back at the dinner we just had was kind of like the first time ever that we all actually weren't like working or at an event and we actually got to actually sit down. So for people that don't know, we the SAG Awards that just happened, you can see it on Netflix now. It was a reunion technically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where we presented Best Ensemble to Succession. 10 years later, after we won the award for Best Ensemble.
Handing off the torch.
Sure. Sure.
No, I think you guys are still kings. I mean,
you're talking to the guy who has Breaking Bad as number one of all time, so I agree. What do you say?
Do you have a tattoo?
I can't show you where it is, but
I got it. Yeah. Okay.
Show me later. Send it to my DM.
I'll put it on my OnlyFans.
Lonely fans.
But you know, we did that, and we literally immediately left, and we all went to dinner, and you know, it was so much fun. Everyone has musical backgrounds. When I was on Breaking Bad, I'd only been in the industry a very, very, very short period of time. Everyone else had 30-plus years, you know? Like, Aaron had, like, over a decade, you know, of working in the business.
We're not counting Price is Right.
Price is Right doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Or Need for Speed. No.
Moving on.
But such a jerk, Aaron. If you want to come on, You can make fun of
me. We would love to have
you. We can talk Need for Speed.
He's got the need for speed. Jonathan's got the need for speed. Anyways, we never get to have that. And everyone's working. And so, like, everyone has, like, families and lives and wives and children. And you know, we're all doing our own things, you know? And so, like, after the show ended, we kind of all, like Dragon Balls get scattered to every end of the world. And so this was like that one time they were all together and Brian Shinron, Brian Cranston is is there. And,
he is Shinron.
He is Shinron. And so it was just so special and everyone's singing and we're drinking and we're having a good time and we're talking about like what's happening in your life, what's like, you know, and that to me is something that you don't get in our industry a lot of, where everyone just comes together and it's literally like no time has passed. And, you know, I'm 32 now. I started the show when I was 14. Wow. 13 turning wow. 14. Yeah. And you know, I ended at 20 turning 21 and literally seeing everyone was like, I'm like 14 again. You know, it really just felt like time like relapsed into back to where we were, and I love it. We had a blast. We had a good time that night, I tell you that.
Well, Giancarlo, be a fly on the wall.
Somebody said Giancarlo was missing at the SAG Awards.
He was.
That's my guy right there.
Yeah. Giancarlo Esposito. I love you. John. He was filming. He was supposed to be there, but he was filming.
You know who else we've had is more Better Call Saul. It's Michael Mando was wonderful.
Michael Mando, yeah,
I love that Nacho. I love him. Well, RJ, listen, man, we could talk to you forever, clearly, because there's no slowing down, and I absolutely love you so much more now than I did when I already loved you going into it, and I loved your movie, and
thank you,
dude, we got doors open for you anytime here on Geekscape. Like, you really epitomize a lot of what we believe here. With the positivity, with the hope, and the community, and the geekiness, I had to throw you a little bit of a tester at the beginning, and you passed completely that Pokemon.
Man, I wish I was in my. So this is kind of a side room. That's just hints of blank wall, but it has the best Wi-Fi, and I wanted to make sure I had good Wi-Fi. But in my actual room, I have rows of nerdom. From everything from Breaking Bad memorabilia to action figures like Lady Death and all the monsters action figures from that 80s and then Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, PlayStation 1s, all Xbox 360s and four different colors, and dude, you would lose your mind if you saw.
I think Geekscape is evidence of me having already lost my mind, but you just said Lady Death, and I just realized, like, Brian Capullo is somebody who I see regularly at conventions, and we're friends on Facebook, and we talk every now and then. I support some of his stuff because he does conventions in Tucson and in Phoenix with our friend Mike, and Brian Capullo should come on the show because I know he's doing Kickstarters for his Lady Death stuff, and I'm a huge we haven't even talked comics, and we haven't talked any of that stuff, but let's get you
next time. Next time.
Here.
Yes.
Geekscapists, I hope you really have enjoyed having RJ on. The movie again is called Triumph. It's available on all of the digital outlets plus Vudu, which is like
plus Vudu.
I watched it on Amazon. It was great.
Me too.
I truly appreciate y'all. I really, you know, I'm a big believer in this movie and I'm so happy that y'all enjoyed it.
Dude, what's next?
Yeah,
what's next? Oh man.
Are we not allowed to tell it?
To make the money back from Triumph, I tell you that.
You got to see it because you're going to watch it and you're going to realize, like, they spent half the money on music.
No, they did.
Holy crap, dude. Yeah, the music licensing on this movie, like, knowing, I know how independent movies are made.
I had to raise funds for it. Trust me.
Oh. When that music started playing, Heidi and I looked at each other like, this is a sound alike, right? Like, this isn't a sound alike. This is the song. Like, you could have gone with sound-alikes in the 80s music. No. You went with the legit song, and you didn't just go with, like, maybe some deeper cuts that might have been cheaper. You went to some the one hit.
We had the hookup.
Okay.
We had the hookup, and they were very – well, because people – just so I left this part out. Well, they believed in the movie, but I also forgot to mention we gave 5% of the back end to a charity.
Oh my God, that's great.
Forever.
Sure.
You know, I'm a big believer in sustainability. Which everyone should be a believer in sustainability. And you know, a lot of organizations have to fundraise, and so being able to donate proceeds that will hopefully produce forever to this charity. And so, you know, going into what I'm doing next is a lot of my philanthropic work. I'm actually in the middle of developing a space and science center here in Brownsville. I've been working on it for about 14 years now. And community development projects, parking lots, art, space and science center, art schools, education centers, and entrepreneurships.
You have my vote. Stuff.
I love how you're just throwing this out as footnote right now.
NASA's like, right there. SpaceX is right there. People, NASA's right there. Like,
people don't understand. Like, you know, people hear about SpaceX, they know about NASA, but people don't understand the number of interstellar shipping, mining, public transportation. You know, in the next 10 years, and hopefully in the next 5, you're going to be able to leave here in Brownsville and get to London in 2 hours.
And, through tunnels?
No. I mean, Boring Company?
Yeah.
but through interstellar short travel orbital public transportation. And that's real technology. This isn't some Star Wars made up thing. These are actual technologies we've had for many years, and we're just now seeing them. And so that keeps me very busy. Well, I do have some movies.
We'll keep us up to date on
mic.
All that.
Drop the mic.
Which is only makes me so much more grateful that you spent this time with us. We'll catch up offline. Anytime any of the science or any of the movies or any of the gaming
comes to Brownsville.
Up, we'll do it. Dude, next time I'm in Texas, we're doing a drive to Brownsville.
I'll give you a full tour. Show you everything.
That's fantastic. Love it. We'll get some really damn good Mexican food.
Yeah.
Brownsville's legit. It's legit. Jim will come with me, and he's like, right, where's my Philly cheesesteak?
I'll show you my Breaking Bad suitcase.
Absolutely. The one without the cocaine and the meth.
The one without the cocaine.
Don't show me that one.
No drugs here, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Good, because I'm a straight edge kid, as you Geekscapes. No, thank you so much. Geekscapes, you can follow RJ on the socials. What's the best?
RJ Mitty, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I use my Instagram the most, but they all connect to me, directly to me. So
awesome. And Geekscape, you can find us, search Geekscape, you'll find Geekscape everywhere. We got 30 plus shows on the network, and half of those are Bingetown TV shows. Okay. we only count you once, even though you do a show for different shows. Bingetown's its own corner, but we only count you once. But you're on the socials as well. Go for it.
At Bingetown TV is where you can find us pretty much anywhere.
And Geekscape is, if you've not enjoyed your Geekscape, you can send your complaints to jonathan@geekscape.net. Of course, leave us a 5-star review if you thought we earned it on any podcast you listen to, share with your friends, and all that helps us get amazing guests like RJ on the show, because, you know, they see what we're doing and they like it. Until next time, Geekscapes, don't hate, create. All right. We'll see you then. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.